Welcome to the Jewelers Podcast, the podcast that talks to jewelers, retailers, and industry supporters about their experiences and insights into the jewelry industry. The Jewelers Podcast is hosted by Laura Moore and Brett Lowe and is part of the Jewelry Industry Network. Whether you're a jeweler, retailer, supplier, gemologist, valuer, teacher, or student, the Jewelry Industry Network is here to help you build your business in the jewelry industry. Join us today as a free member by visiting jewelryindustrynetwork.com, where you can find events, resources, support, and so much more. We can't wait to work with you. Welcome, everybody, to the next episode of the Jewelers Podcast. I'm really excited today because I am with a local, the beautiful Laura from Azara Jewelry in Adelaide. Welcome, Laura. How are you?
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
It's been a real pleasure to get to see you again. It's been a really long time, actually, since I've seen you working your business, and I'm thrilled for you.
Yeah, lots of things have changed since the last time I've seen you, so I guess that's a good thing. That's nice and exciting.
Yes, you've gotten married, and I don't think there's a bit of pad of little feet, but you got married and started a business, and how's it all going?
Yeah, really good, really good. Not the pitter-patter of feet, apart from my dog and the, I don't know what you call it, the noise of the saw frame. We'll go with that. That's those are the noises that I'm hearing. But, yeah, everything's going really well. Starting to make some moves, which is exciting.
Yeah, fantastic. So tell us a little bit about the brand and about Azara Jewelry.
Yeah, so Azara Fine Jewelry. The reason that it's named Azara is that was the name of my first national competition winning piece. So it means little treasure, and it's just a bit of a special personal touch in that. And I suppose in the brand, so everything is handmade by myself, and that's a bit of a feature that I'm very proud of and excited to share.
Fantastic. How did you get started in the jewelry industry? What was it that brought you into this beautiful industry?
Oh, it was a long journey. So I was always really creative and tactile in school, loving like being in the art rooms and painting or in the tech shed and building something with wood. And I didn't really know how I was going to be able to take the passion and excitement into a career. So I tried all sorts of things. I was trying hairdressing and graphic design and all sorts of things. And I sort of came across a friend from school's dad who was a jeweler, and I thought, oh, that sounds interesting. I'll give it a try. And so from work experience, I was completely sold and worked throughout my year 12 part-time on Thursday nights and Saturdays, just trying to get a leg into the industry, because just trying to find work experience was hard enough. It's very sort of closed off when you're on the outside, for obvious reasons like security and occupational health and safety, all of that, which is completely understandable. So then up straight after school, I was straight into an apprenticeship, and that's sort of how it all started.
Oh, fantastic. Did you find that you had people, once you got your first leg in, that were, you know, able to help you through that next step? Or did you still have to find that, you know, it was still difficult to get to the apprenticeship stage?
Yeah, it sort of was. It was difficult to get to the apprenticeship stage because the places that I was sort of approaching weren't really wanting to hire anybody new. So it was just kind of staying in there and pestering until someone said yes.
Take all the no's and go, there's going to be a yes at some stage.
Exactly. I was like, I can do it. And that's why as soon as the apprenticeship was on the cards, I was ready and there. I was like, I don't need to go to school. I don't need time off. I'm straight. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. So that was great.
Fantastic. Why did you want to start your own brand and start your own business?
What I was finding is, like, I love manufacturing. That's sort of something that I just really enjoy, but I miss getting to see people's reactions and seeing the excitement. So that's sort of the part where I was like, I'm missing out. You know, I'm asking everyone, did they like it? What did they think? And I also really like being able to sit with someone and doing that sort of design side to sort of understand what they want and what they like, and being able to add sort of a bit of an extra personal touch in there. You know, I think it makes it really special. So being able to have those opportunities is really, really the reason that I've sort of started this, was just to be with people again.
Yeah. And isn't that, like, I mean, surely as a jeweler and as a creative, creating something that is so beautiful, that is for somebody's emotional connection, or for that speaks to them emotionally, you, of course, you would, you know, really want to see their reaction to your design and to the piece that you put so much of your own heart and soul into. So it makes perfect sense.
Exactly. Like, it's their piece that they're going to wear forever, and I'm the one sitting and thinking about every detail and just hoping that they're going to notice, or
yeah,
or, you know, it's just, yeah, it's nice to be able to be part of that process with them rather than just being behind the scenes.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's a beautiful connection actually between, but your jewelry stays with you when you've got that piece of jewelry from them. It's really special.
Exactly. And sort of everyone that I've worked together with on a piece for them, they end up becoming sort of friends and often send a message or keep in touch, or, you know, great to be able to see the piece through, which is really exciting.
Yeah, that's lovely. It's always, and then it stays with you too in a way, which is nice for your own creation.
Exactly.
How do you keep up with trends, and whether it's around the world, or do you have your own style that you try to bring into what you design for your clients?
So personally, I find myself drawn to things in a bit of the Art Deco sort of period of jewellery, but in saying that, I don't try to influence other people's choices and selections based on that. I really love to make whatever it is that they want, whether it's my style or not. I'm completely happy to make whatever their dream piece is. So I would say keeping up with trends, that definitely, like, social media is a huge way to stay current, you know, seeing hundreds of brands internationally just at my fingertips on the train is super connective. Also, I guess, like, my clients, whatever they're bringing in and whatever they're sharing with me helps me to know what are people actually wanting. I know what I like, but that doesn't mean that the public or anybody else is going to like it ever. Mm. And I guess even things like costume jewellery, just in the stores as you're walking through, I think that gives us a good indication of what's coming next. You know, I've seen a lot of pearls in costume jewellery lately, and something that I really love, and I think we're starting to then see a bit of a resurgence in that already. So yeah, just sort of, I guess, being generally immersed in jewellery in every aspect keeps you a little bit more current and hopefully on trend.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I've got friends who have, like, bought costume jewellery and worn it for a certain period of time just sort of to get used to it, and then gone, now I want it as a piece that's been made specifically for me with precious metals and you know, real gemstones. So
yeah, almost like a trial run.
Yeah, that's right. Like a, yeah, pre-tattoo or something.
Like, no, actually, I am wearing it all the time, or I really feel connected to that style. And then I'm even doing that myself. I was wearing a costume chain to see if I would want that kind of chain for the future. And I'm like, yeah, I could see myself.
Yeah, oh, that's good. Yeah, I think that's a really interesting way of people sort of trialing things. So,
yeah.
Do you have a favourite metal to work with, or a favourite type of gemstone to work with?
I do. I am a huge colour fan. So 18 yellow is my everything. I love yellow gold. It's really great to work with, very sort of smooth and luxurious feel, for me anyways. Everyone likes different, but that's sort of my favorite. And in terms of stones, I also study gemology, so I'm a little bit of just every kind of stone excites me for some particular reason. But right now I'm really enjoying, I have a few clients, we're actually working on like eternity rings using birthstones and that sort of thing. So I'm kind of enjoying having a range of coloured stones coming across the bench right now. And it really adds like a nice element of sentiment to a piece when it's something like a birthstone. It attaches a certain person to that piece, which, yeah, is a beautiful little added touch. And it's completely personal and individual and, yeah, something special about that as well.
Nice. What's one of the largest challenges that you've had to face in the industry? I mean, I think we've sort of all obviously starting a business is probably one of the biggest ones. But, yeah, what sort of challenges have you faced whilst working in the industry?
I can't say that I've had any particular challenge that I'm struggling with at the moment or even recently. Like, obviously in every industry there's certain challenges and things. I would say that what I would find as a bit of a small issue that I'm trying to navigate at the moment is some of the difficulties related to online shopping and online education. I'm finding a lot of people are very articulate in exactly what they want, down to the millimeter measurements and sort of being very, very detailed. And being a manufacturer means that I sort of have a bit more knowledge into how I want the piece to be for durability reasons or, you know, things like that. So I'm not seeing it so much as a challenge, but more of as an opportunity to try and educate them as to, yeah, that's great, but, or, you know, just trying to shift their thinking to be a little bit more open that not everything online is going to be perfect. And I think being able to explain and be really transparent with them adds a bit of a level of trust, which hopefully is a benefit in the end from that bit of a challenge.
Yeah. No, it's a really good point because I think, and even going back to that fashionable costume jewelry element, people sort of do see all types of jewelry, maybe not understanding that that's precious versus not. And so you're not knowing that, okay, well, you can't really have a ring at 0.8 millimetres wide because it's not going to last you longer than a day. It is interesting to figure out how we do talk to people. So do you communicate to your customers through social media to sort of educate your fan base, or how do you overcome that?
I would say that it's generally in person is the way that they're most responsive. Online, you can sort of start to, you know, through social media messaging and those kind of things, you can sort of start to educate them, but it's very easy to turn away and they'll find someone that will give them whatever it is that they're looking for. You know, I did have someone recently wanting like a 1 mil thick base on their engagement ring, and I thought, you know, that's not a thickness that I'm comfortable with when we're talking about them wearing it for their lifetime. So trying to explain that and everything in person made perfect sense and translated very well. But starting with just a message in my response, I can explain everything and then they'll say, yep, great, and they'll find someone else, which is completely fine, because I would rather that happen than make something that is going to fall apart.
Yeah. And that they're going to come back to you with a return.
Tell me. So, you know, there's ups and downsides.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and a really good point. I mean, maybe it's something that we need to do as an industry, you know, is to do more education to the consumer about, you know, what does meet the needs for longevity and standards and, you know, all those sorts of things.
Yeah, it is a great idea, and I am starting to do a bit of a education section on my website to try to do exactly that, like sort of cut some of those misconceptions. You know, I want an engagement ring that's 1.4 wide. Well, like you said, if they already knew that, then maybe they would be wary in their purchases as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you're very young and have started a very successful business. How have you, overcome, you know, being such a young person in the industry, and do you see that there's a gap between the older generation of jewellers versus the younger generation of jewellers, or is there a sort of a bridge to gap there?
Yeah, so being young in the industry, I have never found to be too much of an issue, especially now that I'm on my own. Being an employee of a business, people would, you know, I would be helping them with whatever their questioning is, but then they always want to speak to the jeweler, which I would then say is me. And then you can see they're like, well, how else do I ask for someone older or more knowledgeable, or like, what's the next question to get me somebody else? I did find that being in sort of a larger business, but I'm finding that to be more of a benefit in my business personally, when people, like, they're coming to speak with me, they know that the knowledge is there, and that I can sort of make whatever they want or assist them with whatever their question is. So that hasn't been so much of a problem, but there's also been, you know, incredible support from family, friends, other jewelers who have, you know, always been there for me, which is, you know, great. I can only thank them. But I would say, in terms of bridging the gap, I guess, between the older and younger jewelers, the older jewelers have such a huge knowledge base. They've seen so many more pieces than someone like myself. And, you know, I just try to latch onto whenever I can to get to, you know, grasp a bit of that knowledge. I would say that in bridging that gap is more just mentorship, I think. You know, I've worked at a few different places and made some really great connections and relationships, and I still rely on those today. So I think being able to just reach out is probably the best way to connect everybody. And even things like the Young Jewelers group that are currently running, it is such a great way for everyone to sort of post questions and receive some insight. And there is a huge range of ages in there, and you can see that, and it's a really good start.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, no, really good point. I think mentoring, I think, would be a great thing to sort of implement a little bit more into the industry, and to have just to increase that sharing of knowledge, because you're right, they've seen so many more pieces and have probably some really great tips with skill sets. And
so I feel really fortunate to have been able to sort of form my own connection of mentors throughout my, you know, journey in the industry. But I suppose if everybody had that that opportunity, it would be really helpful and broaden that relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the same sort of discussion, I suppose, you know, women in the industry is also, you know, increasing as a category. You know, it was a very male-dominated industry not that long ago. It sort of still is to a degree, but we're certainly, as females, you know, getting in there a little bit more. And how do you feel about being one of the women in the industry?
Yeah, so I've been in the industry for about 10 years now, and which is a very short sort of snapshot. And even in sort of my time, I've seen a huge growth in the number of bench jewelers, especially. You know, there's always been designers and in retail, but especially on the bench, that sort of behind the scenes theme, well, it appears to me as if it's grown. But also I'm thinking, potentially, is that more of the exposure has grown? You know, with social media, we're seeing women everywhere doing everything, whereas perhaps we just didn't know that was there. I don't know. But yeah, I'm really enjoying seeing so many sort of inspirational female jewelers, and there's the Women in Jewelry group that you're a part of. And it's really great to see that we're all sort of creating some strong connections. And personally, I'm feeling increasingly supported and represented in the industry sort of day by day.
Yeah, that's really good to hear, because there's certainly some incredible women and young women that are starting their own businesses and have their own studios and workshops, and it's really inspiring to see you know, them having the ability to get out there on their own without, you know, having any sort of barriers to entry, which is exciting.
Yeah, and perhaps that's why I feel so supported, because I'm like, oh, these other women are doing the exact same thing. Like, we're all doing it. Not a barrier anymore.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good. It's exciting. It's exciting times. Laura, you are an award-winning jeweler, multi-award-winning jeweler, in fact. Tell us a little bit about your first award and what you sort of achieved since that first award.
Yeah, so I don't know where I would start. I used to be very active in the award space. Feel like incredibly fortunate to have received any awards throughout my time in this industry. I suppose one of the first awards would have been the South Australian Apprentice of the Year, which is sort of not even necessarily connected to the jewellery industry, but still relevant, obviously. So that's an award across all apprentices in all trades across the state. So that was a really exciting opportunity, starting with a written application, then became an interview process, and then a national award. And from there, I was able to work as an ambassador for the vet industry for a year, which was an incredible opportunity. And to this day, I was just judging the current awards this week, which was a great day involved, and try to encourage apprenticeships in all trades across the state. But more direct to the jewellery industry would be probably winning the National Diamond Guild Awards quite some years ago now. But that was sort of, for me, that was probably my most exciting awards to enter. It was something that I had always thought of. Down the track, I'll enter and we'll see what happens. And to be able to have been part of that so early on was really amazing and exciting and an absolute career highlight. So that award started as a rendering, and then if you were selected, you could go ahead and make the piece, which I was able to do, and then go to Sydney and enjoy the award ceremony. So yeah, it was an incredible experience, and that was the award where the piece was named Azara.
Oh, fantastic. What did you do with the piece? Where is it now?
Oh, it's not in my possession.
That's a shame.
Past employer. So I'm hoping it's still being enjoyed by somebody.
It's a shame it's not in the front window of your store. You know, the big sign.
It was not achievable at the time.
Fair enough. I think that's one of the challenges actually for people to enter, is that often that idea is, you know, with what you'd like to make as an award-winning piece or even just as an entry piece, is potentially going to be quite expensive to produce, and not that many people can, you know, put that sort of money into entering an award. Was
correct.
That a barrier for entrance, I would assume?
It was. Thankfully, my employer had sort of sponsored the piece, if you like, and that was the only reason that I was sort of able to make that step. Other than that, being an apprentice and looking at a 18 carat yellow and white gold, probably weighed, I'm going to say, close to 30 grams with a carat of stones in it, that wasn't really achievable on my own. So I was very thankful for the support, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Is that something, do you think, that most employers should really try and encourage their, not just apprentices, but maybe their staff to enter, their bench jewelers to enter awards, you know, from a recognition for the business? Is surely a good thing.
Yeah, I'm very grateful for myself that I was, you know, sponsored by my employer to be able to do that. And I do think that it would be something that if everybody had the opportunity would really enjoy. It's not often that you kind of, as a jeweler, get to think about what you might like or what you might, you know, what's your wildest dream. It's very rare that you have that opportunity to make that. So to be sort of awarded that opportunity by your employer would be something that would be really special, I think. And also it's a real benefit and kind of connected experience with your company or employer to be a part of an award and to potentially attend a award ceremony together, or, you know, all of those things. It really does bring people together and also make some really good connections with people interstate or even within your own state in the industry, because we're all here for the same reasons, and it's nice to be able to meet.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you going to enter any more coming up?
I am really hoping to. I have some in mind.
Oh, good.
So we will see. But definitely, as soon as I have the opportunity, I'll be back into it. Yeah. There's been a bit of a lull, but I'm hoping to be back.
Oh, you heard it here first. We'll keep an eye out. Do you sketch your ideas down, or are you a computer designer? How do you capture your ideas before they disappear?
Yeah, I'm definitely a pen and paper person, or pencil and paper. Somewhat I feel technologically challenged compared to most people in this day and age. So everything's just very pen and paper. I think it's the feeling of back to being at the bench. Like, everything is just hands-on. There's very limited technology involved, and I think that's maybe one of the reasons I love it so much. Yeah. I did work experience back in high school at a graphic designer, and trying to use a computer all day was just not ideal. And I just thought, like, I can do this, I can draw this, I can make this, but I can't make the computer know what to do. Exactly. So yeah, I'm very true to my pen and paper roots.
Yeah. I think I'm loving that's actually something too that I think the consumer's really appreciating more, maybe since COVID, I'm not sure, but certainly are appreciating more the handmade element of jewellery, which is exciting. They seem to be much more aware of the fact that we've got a lot of artisans here who can hand make something. Have you seen that too?
I agree with you. It seems that people are more interested in that boutique, bespoke kind of feel. Even things like going to like bowerbird markets and things, you know, to have a handmade candle is something that we're all excited about. And yeah, so I think that's become a bit of a trend, I suppose, to have something that's handmade. And yeah, I mean, it's a great thing for us. I'm very happy with that. I know that people do appreciate the actual craftsmanship as well as the end piece. Trying to share videos and photos of processes with clients and everything is very exciting for them and for me, because, you know, 100% of the time you show them a short video of 30 seconds of the processes that you took to make it, and they go, I had no idea, I would have never thought that that's how it would be made. So yeah, I think it's special to be able to share that with them.
Yeah, they value the not just the intricacy, but the monetary value of it as well. Then it makes them sort of go and understand why it's more expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. What's next on the cards for Azara Fine Jewelry?
Well, new website just launched this week. So that was a big step and very exciting. And I suppose just continuing to sort of settle in and just keep going is really the main goal, is just to be able to keep making beautiful pieces for great clients. Yeah, so there's not a huge long-term goal at the moment. It's just keep going.
Yeah. Oh, great. No, that's fantastic. I'm so excited for you with your business, and I can't wait to come visit. Maybe I'll meet you downstairs at the cupcake shop, which I know is downstairs.
Absolutely. I'm allowed to go there unless I have someone I'm going with.
Yeah, I can imagine. A very lovely cupcake shop for anyone who's listening. If you're in Adelaide, head down to Perry Street. No, thank you, Laura, so much for chatting to us on the Jewelers Podcast. And we can't wait to see what you have in store for us in the future, maybe with some award-winning pieces.
Let's hope, fingers crossed. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for tuning in. Please hit subscribe to the Jewelers Podcast so that you don't miss our next episode. You can get in touch with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just search for Jewelers Podcast. See you next time.